You are listening to Real Bible Answers, a weekly podcast of Life Heritage Ministries with teacher and author, Dr. Keith Augustus Burton.
Welcome to another edition of Real Bible Answers, where the answers are always realistic, exegetical, applicable, and lasting. The question for today. Dear Dr. Burton, what kind of wine did Jesus provide at the wedding in Cana? And can Christians drink socially? Well, first of all, let me start out by apologizing for my tardiness in responding to this question. It was originally sent to me in December of 2005. Now, this question is definitely relevant for those who believe that the Bible issues a general condemnation against the consumption of wine. In fact, anyone who really wants to know what the Bible teaches about alcohol. Well, we do know that the first reference to wine in the Bible is definitely negative when we find the righteous Noah getting drunk after experimenting with wine in Genesis chapter 9. Genesis chapter 19 is also negative with its portrayal of Lot's daughters getting him drunk so they could get pregnant by him. However, in between these two passages, Genesis 9 and 19, we have Genesis chapter 15, in which we read about Melchizedek, the priest of the Most High God, who took bread and wine to Abraham. In fact, in Exodus 29, verse 40, and Numbers 15, among other passages, wine is offered to God as a sacrifice. Now, before I continue, given the intoxicating effect that wine had on Noah and Lot, it is obvious that the Hebrew word for wine, which is yayin, refers to a fermented beverage. In fact, the root for the word yayin actually means effervescent or bubbly or to ferment, as yayan. And this reflects, of course, the chemical change that takes place when a liquid is alcoholized. Interestingly, in antiquity, the Greek term for wine, which is oinos, was not only used for the fermented juice of the grape, but was also used to describe beer and other drinks that had fermented. Now, the question at hand is, what kind of wine does the Bible talk about in John chapter 2 when Jesus attends the wedding at Cana and does the spectacular miracle? Well, the Greek word used here is oinos, the same word used in other Greek literature to describe the fermented juice of the grape. It is also interesting to note the steward's words in verse 10 of chapter 2 of John. Here he says, usually people give the best wine first, and when the people are well drunk, the least. But you have kept the best wine until now. Apparently, it was usually the good wine that made the people well drunk, and the Greek term there is methusthosin. Now, based on evidence in the text, it is easy to conclude that the wine at Cana could have been fermented. However, there needs to be a note of caution. You see, it cannot be forgotten that fermentation is a natural process that starts occurring just a few hours after juice is squeezed. Some may say immediately after juice is squeezed. Natural yeast in the environment quickly interact with the sugars in the liquid, and the alcoholizing process continues until all the sugar is converted into alcohol. Anyone who has sampled the juice of pressed fruit that may have been sitting around for a while has consumed alcohol. The truth is, in a culture without refrigerators, it was practically impossible to stop or even slow down the process of fermentation. This brings me to my second point. Remember, Jesus had just performed the miracle. True, he could have instantaneously conjured up a vat of decades-old champagne, but it is more likely that he transformed the water into a beverage that was fresh and nourishing. You see, the steward was not necessarily concerned about the wine's intoxicating ability, but its taste. His comment on the people getting well drunk was probably based on his assumption about the alcoholic content in the wine. If indeed the water was transformed to the juice of freshly pressed grapes, the intoxication would never have taken place. Unfortunately, we won't know what happened next, since John's purpose was not to provide a diatribe on whether it's okay to drink, but to demonstrate Jesus' first spectacular sign. Of course, if my suspicions are correct, the real intent of this question is to see if this passage provides permission for Christians to drink socially. to this, I would respond with a resounding no. You see, when we look at the Bible, we find that texts are either prescriptive or descriptive. Those that are prescriptive contain divine commands that we are expected to follow. Descriptive texts, on the other hand, merely tell us what happened. The miracle at Cana basically serves as an example of one of Jesus' many signs, and it is in no way intended to encourage Christians to take up a career in bartending or wine bibbing. If we are to draw any lessons from the descriptive portions of Scripture that deal with alcohol, let's take a look at the history of racism that many have justified from a misreading of the incident with the drunken Noah and his son Ham. Let's look at the level of depravity to which Lot's daughters sank when they used liquor to beguile their father into incest. Let's look at the fate of King Belshazzar in Daniel chapter 5 when his drunken stupor made him think that he could lord himself over the Almighty God. There's enough in Scripture to warn against the dangers of alcohol, and if you need more, just go to your local homeless shelter or visit an Alcoholics Anonymous meeting to see what can happen to people who started out drinking socially. We may never be absolutely sure about the chemical constituency of the wine in Cana, but we have a host of witnesses that confirm the reality that wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise, if I could borrow the words of Solomon in Proverbs 20 verse 1. I trust this helps.
Thanks for listening to Real Bible Answers. If you have a Bible question for Dr. Burton, you may send it to BibleAnswers@LifeHeritage.org. Again, that's BibleAnswers@LifeHeritage.org. Or you can send it via MP3 to BibleAnswers@Podomatic.com. That's BibleAnswers@Podomatic.com. Feel free to visit the Life Heritage webpage on www.LifeHeritage.org. from where you can access a number of services to help your spiritual life. We also appreciate your donations, which can be given securely online with your credit card, or if you prefer, you may send a check or money order to Life Heritage Ministries, P.O. Box 56, Harvest, Alabama, 35749. That's Life Heritage Ministries, P.O. Box 56, Harvest, Alabama, 35749. Again, thanks for listening, and always remember that a tree is known by its fruit.